11:59 at Radio Free America, and this is Uncle Sam with music and the truth until dawn. Right now, I got a few words for some of our brothers and sisters in the occupied zone. The chair is against the wall. The chair is against the wall. John has a long mustache. John has a long mustache. It's 12 o'clock, Americans, another day closer to victory. And for all of you out there on or behind the lines, this is your song.
Time, weather, and...
Highways!
Veteran of three foreign wars, entrepreneur, and warrior poet, Tony Arterburn takes on the issues facing our country, civilization, and planet. This is the Arterburn Radio Transmission.
Welcome to the Arterburn Radio Transmission. I am your host, Tony Arterburn, broadcasting from the WiseWolfGoldAndSilver.com studios in beautiful Branson, Missouri. It is the 12th of January, 2022. My guest today, folks, is going to answer the question, what is going on with our skies? Have you looked up at the skies lately, at least in the last 10 years especially? Have you looked up and thought, why are those contrails turning into clouds? Why is the weather so weird? What is going on in our skies? To answer that, I have Matt Landman with me today. He's the activist, filmmaker of the documentary Franken Skies. He's been on many shows that I follow, and I'm so glad to have him here today. Welcome, Matt Landman, to the transmission.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's a pleasure, and I was talking to you earlier in the show, and you said you're from Missouri. I'm meeting some amazing people from that part of the country, real folk. So it's great to meet you, especially.
Well, it's great to meet you, and this is great folks up here. My wife is actually from Missouri. I'm from Texas, but we decided at the end of 2019 to homestead, and our homestead's in Northwest Arkansas. And you talk about the Franken skies. You know, we're looking up ahead and looking above us and seeing all these trails and things turning into clouds. And I mean, I've got photographs going back 2 years of just how insane it was. I think the busiest day for chemtrails that I've seen was on Election Day 2020. And it was a sunny day. It was clear, but you look up in the sky and it was just crisscross. I mean, just, it was massive. I haven't seen anything like that since, but they have been very busy, and especially in the last 3 or 4 months out here. So, I want to give you as much time as possible, Matt. You have been in this arena, pushing back and trying to expose this geoengineering or whatever the hell it is going on in our sky. So tell me about your story and the story behind Franken Skies, and then, you know, what you're discovering.
Yes, happily. And thank you for asking. And I know everyone's wondering, why do they spray so much on Election Day? And we can get to that. And that's an interesting question. I've got a lot of hypotheses. I mean, everyone has to think about what's going on in the skies when they look up. So my story is, I'm a normal guy turned activist. I grew up in Virginia. I went to Virginia Tech. I always wanted to go to film school, but there was no film school in Virginia, so I went to business school. I got a degree, a bachelor's of science in marketing management, and eventually I wanted to get out of the East Coast. I wanted to check out California, and there's this big dream of what California supposedly was supposed to be like, and it's not what the, you know, storybooks say and whatnot, and the media tells you it is. So I moved to LA pursuing, I don't know what, maybe I wanted to go into the film industry or something eventually, but I did finally after a back and forth, and I'm on the road a lot. I traveled a lot. The grass was always greener. So I was moving back to Virginia about 12 times. I moved from San Diego to Virginia thinking I was going to be happier over there. So I did a lot of traveling, and it kind of opened my eyes to the sky, as I realized by looking back at my old photos, I'm seeing, you know, I had that lens of looking at things a little differently because I was out on those landscapes and I, you know, did all the national parks and all this stuff. And eventually I was in Northern California going to grad school, because by getting my master's in business, going to Cal State in Northern California, I could also at the same time go to film school finally. And that was like a dream of mine. So I went to film school at the same time as getting my MBA, got a master's in business administration, graduated top of my class. And after getting out of school there, I got a job in finance. And I realized I've worked like 30, 40 jobs and they're all the same. And so finally, I was able to leave that rat race and work on an organic farm. And it was probably job number 40. And I was like in my mid, early 30s. And it seemed like it would just be another job. But on day one, I learned that I was indoctrinated, that I didn't know anything. And I thought I knew everything. And you know, when you're like in your 20s and early 30s, you think you know everything. And then maybe a lot of people have these realizations that we don't know much. And then you start to really learn, right? And so on the first day on the farm, I learned potatoes grow potatoes. And I say this on a lot of my shows, and it might be repetitive, but people that haven't heard this or haven't heard me before, or even if you think about the realization there, I've seen potatoes trying to grow in my home, in the cabinet, in the, you know, wherever I store the food, you know, the pantry. And I never knew that I could just put them in the ground. I never knew that. No one ever told me. All these years of school and education and all these books, and I never knew that potatoes grew potatoes. So that was the first thing, day one. And shortly thereafter, I learned about all these different varieties. There's thousands and thousands of varieties of apples, hundreds of varieties of lemons. You know, like I came from a place where a lot of people, it's kind of like the city suburbs of DC, but it's the city as well. And you would talk to just about anybody and they would think that there's one type of lemon. You know, I had to move to California to learn about Meyer's lemons. And just these simple things got me really grounded and connected to the earth and the sky. And there, I thought I knew everything. I knew 9/11 was a conspiracy and all that, but I didn't know all these other truths. But by having an open mind and being open to that vibration of truth and being able to elevate and ride that vibration of truth where all those other truths are, they are there and they're self-evident. I was able to finally wake up to weather engineering on this farm. So we usually get, where I live in Northern California, the Pacific Northwest, we get this seasonal deluge of rain. It's every single year for about 3-4 months of straight rain, you know, like Seattle, like the gloomy Pacific Northwest. And that seasonal deluge hadn't happened for like 4 or 5 years. We were in basically a catastrophic drought for a lot of small farmers. We were doing a lot of dry farming, growing winter squash and potatoes, and I'm learning all about that. And we didn't have to water them as much, so water wasn't that big a deal. But still, the plants and the soil needed some water. And there was this big storm coming in early. It was around September 1st-ish, you know, a little early in the season for all of the blooming squash and, you know, the big things that take a while and you want to harvest them in October. But we were out there harvesting a little early because we thought everything was going to rot in the field because we were due 1 week of rain. Big storm clouds were coming off the ocean. And where I worked, you could hear the waves crashing. I worked on a farm, beautiful agriculture community right on the ocean. So the storm is coming. There's amphibious creatures living underneath my house, frogs and salamanders, and they're coming out because it's a drought. The entire ecosystem was ready for this storm. And on the edge of the storm, and I graduated top of my class with the MBA, so I was really into stats, you know, and I can analyze numbers. And it's really important nowadays to be able to use your mind and not just see a correlation and see a causal relationship. Anything can be corollary, you know, to an extent. And if you know these simple discernments, then a lot of these bamboozles of science and all this stuff you're not so easily convinced of all these lies nowadays, you know what I mean? So what I saw was an irregular uptick in air traffic was the first clue. All these planes showed up on the edge of the storm, and they grid the sky with these, persistent linear cirrus cloud formations. I didn't know about chemtrails. I didn't know about geoengineering. I didn't know about any of this nonsense or the whole controlled debate of the duality of the chemtrails or contrail. those two things are the same thing, by the way, I've learned. Anything coming out of the back of the jet is a different gas being mixed. You know, it could be barium, could be strontium, could be aluminum, but there's a whole orchestra of stuff going on in the sky. It's so elaborate. I mean, ongoing nowadays. So either way, I witnessed all of these planes show up, over a dozen, zigzagging on the edge of this storm as it came in. And whereas when I worked, what I started to realize is when I worked on the farm, I would see maybe one plane, you know, in a day going overhead in this very rural agriculture community, far away from any international airport. And on this day, I'm seeing a dozen planes on the edge of a storm, zigzagging, leaving these trails. You know, I call them persistent linear cirrus clouds. And those clouds unraveled into a haze, you know, and the storm came into that haze and didn't drop any rain. The Doppler radar said we were going to get rain. We expected 100% chance of rain for a week. And I was out there in my rain boots and rain jacket and everything, working as a farmer, which was an amazing opportunity to be on an organic farm for that whole year. And nothing, no rain. Nothing came out of any of the clouds. And at the time, I was pretty relieved, but I had this experience, you know. And shortly thereafter, I'm on the phone with a friend back east. And it must have been just divine timing, like it is as an activist. Sometimes you call these things in and synchronistic things kind of show you these answers, you know, like I'm going down other rabbit holes nowadays and that things are just popping up, like books are just showing up in my life. It's just things like that happen. But in this instance, I was talking to a friend back home and venting to him because all of my peers in the school, they were younger and they had no clue about 9/11. All they had was Google references, which was there was two sides of the story and how could they choose a side? They weren't there and they're from the West Coast and they were probably not even born then, you know, some of them. And he's like, yeah, well, they have no reference point, Matt. You know, they didn't live in DC when it happened like you. And I'm like, okay, yeah, whatever. And he says, well, what about chemtrails? Those are right in everyone's face. I had no idea. I didn't know what he was talking about. And he was like, well, Matt, you showed me Zeitgeist and all these movies. So you got to go look up chemtrails. Just go Google it. I Googled it and pretty much the rest is history. I started to learn that the activism in that space, I didn't think they were doing a compelling job. And so I was like, I want to be a chemtrail activist. Then I realized, oh, wait, there's a movie already out there. What in the world are they spraying? Why in the world are they spraying? So I was like, okay, I'm not going to do the movie thing anymore. But then once I watched it and I started really digging into it all, I realized I thought I could do a better job. You know, it was like an ego thing. And then when I started to talk to my friends about it and share it with them and try to share those resources that existed, the people that I even were willing to look at the resources that existed, they were like, there's always this, I don't know if you know this turd in the punch bowl effect. Someone can have this amazing party. If the punch has a turd in it, then, you know, the party's ruined. People will talk about that 3 years later and it doesn't even matter how great your DJ was or anything like that. And that's what controlled opposition maybe, or maybe activists that don't know what they're doing or whatever in a non-grounded approach. You got to be able to meet everyone where they're at. And if my grandmother cannot watch the movie and she walks away thinking the exact opposite, which is your crazy conspiratorial nut job, that's the opposite of what you're trying to, you know, the frequency you're trying to embed on people or the what you're trying to, you know, get across. So eventually I thought, hey, I should make a movie. But then it involved me getting the activists together. And I was like, well, shoot, maybe I'll just make the first global chemtrail conference. And I did that to get the people together. And that was in Vancouver, Canada. Then I hosted another global chemtrail conference in Portland, Oregon. And then the third global chemtrail conference, or the Summit to Stop Geoengineering, was in Tucson. And that was immensely important and huge because Bill Gates and these Harvard professors were trying to launch this experiment in Tucson that year to dim the sun publicly to say, hey, look, we've got geoengineering. We can dim the sun to save you from global warming, climate change, whatever, these things that aren't even real. And they were going to push that narrative full steam ahead. And we, the activists, we prevented it. What we did with the conference that we had and the protest and the concert that we did is we came together and it was amazing that we were actually able to put this experiment on hiatus. Now they've moved it to Sweden. It's supposed to happen this coming year. But what we did is we brought to the community, not, hey, the chemtrails are real or chemtrails and contrails and all this debate. Because that's already, that people have a frame of reference and it's conspiratorial. What we did is we brought to the community of Southern Arizona that there was an experiment to be had to spray chemicals in the sky just over Tucson, Arizona. I mean, a city, major city. And it would involve aluminum particulates, different variable sizes, and they want to see which ones stick to the sky well in the desert enough to maybe make a 110 degree day, a 90 degree day in front of the Tucson summer sun. Now they've completely flipped the script, and now they're going to Kiruna, Sweden, where the sun does not set in June, and they're doing it this June, supposedly, with Bill Gates and their minions and the controlled Swedish government and all that stuff. So that's enough tangent to probably make a lot of questions, but thank you for letting me get all that out.
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to give you as much time as possible because it's a big subject matter, you know. And well, just to talk about potatoes for a second, you know, we did the same thing. You know, my wife and I, and mostly my wife, Melissa, has set up our off-grid, you know, organic farm and raised bed gardens, and she does an amazing job. And we don't even have a electric hookup. We do a little bit of solar. We have rainwater collection. So that's the direction that we went. But we put the store-bought potatoes and then grown them, you know, from, you know, putting them in the ground, and we, you know, have eaten those, and they're good. So yeah, potatoes make potatoes. But you know, it's funny, you mentioned Bill Gates, and I hear this a lot kind of in the community. Oh, well, Bill Gates is going to dim the sun, and Bill Gates is, you know, people say, well, thanks, Bill Gates. They see a chemtrail. That's not Bill Gates. I mean, we need to call, who is doing this? Who is in charge of the geoengineering? Is it multi-layered? Is it different factions? Is it private corporations in conjunction with government? Or do you know, are you able to track any of these planes that in their tail numbers and where they're landing and coming from?
So that's a handful of questions. The tracking is kind of difficult. I think there's like tracking apps that are probably controlled. You know, the powers that be, when they came up with this idea, they introduced the concept to the public, chemtrails, but as a crazy conspiracy. You know, they're really smart in the verbiage, the vernacular, the control of the mental construct. You know, if someone comes to you and presents an idea to you and they get it to you first and they've paved that mental pathway, I look at it as like shoveling snow to like a location. So now it's like easy to get to from A to B. You can still shovel snow another route, but that's like the route, and someone's done it first and they've got your mental pathway dug a certain way. You know, like for instance, the narrative with all the stuff they're doing now, it's like if you get to them first, the next person that comes along is like, no, I'm going to talk some sense into you. It's not so easy. So with the chemtrails, they were able to control the consciousness by people being first introduced to it as a crazy idea. Like conspiratorial people think they're spraying poison on us to kill us. It's really not that. It's weather modification especially. But to answer a lot of it, people want to know who, what, why, where, when, and how, so that they can answer the questions when they convey it to their friends, family, and peers. So that's the important role of the activist, to be able to answer some of these questions, because when you bring a topic up, they ask you questions. And if you don't know the answer, like, see, you don't even know who's doing it. How could you even believe? You know what I mean? Because we're curious people, humans, and we're not going to pass this message on, especially like people that are quote unquote normies or whatever, that go to their water cooler and are talking to their friends at work or whatnot. They're not going to pass this message on if they don't have something that their friends can sink their teeth in. That's why Frankenstein's documentary is nice. You can just pass it on. So the who is, yes, there's an answer to that. There's a lot of programs going on at once. They're NASA, they have a program called CARE, C-A-R-E, and they don't really care. It's the opposite of caring because they're spraying pollutants in the atmosphere. And that one I can talk about for like an hour, but I'll just give it a second. NASA has a budget of over $50 million per day. A lot of stuff they do is complete lies and CGI, but one thing they do admittedly is spray chemtrails. It's hidden in plain sight. You can just look up their program. They have a whole fleet of planes and drones, and they make, quote, noctilucent clouds. They use the atmosphere as a laboratory, they say, maybe to see what works best for, you know, solar radiation management, which is a big word to dim the sun, you know, for geoengineering to save us from global warming and all that. And NASA may be in on it, it seems. NASA, they spray three primary constituents called, they're called aluminum, barium, and strontium, and they mix them together and see what happens. And this is all like, to what end? Like, are you spending $500,000 a year or like $20 million a day on this, right? Like, we don't know. So that's a big elephant in the room. The Department of Energy, equally big elephant in the room, is the Department of Energy, which through our programming people will say to me, oh, the boogeyman, like in Stranger Things, Department of Energy, time traveling or whatever. And I'm like, no, they are the boogeyman and they are spraying chemtrails. And this is like a whole amazing rabbit hole that I have to really sink my teeth into to even convey, because it's this dualistic left-right paradigm of like the liberal Democrat Republican thing. And what it is that we've got dirty energy, which is coal and oil, the Department of Energy. And they launched a program right before 9/11 in 2001 called the Tropospheric Aerosol Program, TAP, where they spray chemtrails in the troposphere. For experimentation purposes, they say, but in the paper released, which you can look up really easily, TAPDOE PDF, it's a PDF file, and it's TAP, Tropospheric Aerosol Program, DOE, Department of Energy. And in this elaborate document that does not use the word geoengineering contrails or chemtrails, for contrails, they say the word precursor gas. So they spray the precursor gas, and then they spray the other thing to mix with it. And I call it a primer plane. On days where you see a lot of quote-unquote contrails in the sky back and forth, they're priming the sky, and later on you'll see the chemtrails or the next day or whatever. Like, keep your eye to that. That's interesting. To put together. So the Department of Energy, through the Tropospheric Aerosol Program, they launched this document, which was telling what they were doing. They gridded the sky in Nashville on this in 2001 with their experiments and what. And they have a whole fleet of planes and drones and spraying chemicals in the sky just the same. And in their 2001 document, they even, in one of the glossaries in the back, they spend, I believe it's $5.4 million on risk aversion and detection, like not being detected, like not getting caught. And this budget is extrapolated for years. They're spending millions of dollars on this and then millions on not just getting exposed. And so this starts to get interesting nowadays, because the public vernacular is almost begging for action on climate change. They are. They say we need climate change action. And what they don't realize is that is the progressive liberal Democrat global warming alarmists, green people, are pro-geoengineering, and they hardly even realize it. And it's this left-right paradigm where the anti-geoengineering global warming deniers are the right, and especially the radical right, and they're the Republicans, and they are dirty energy. So you've got people thinking that if they're anti-geoengineers, there is total reverse psychology, and they throw in racism, of course, in there too, and all this other, these trigger things, because Trump was able to exacerbate all that by design, I think. I think Trump is all by design. I think all the politics are all by design to split us up and to try to get us into a civil war eventually or something like that. I don't even know. But this controlled, polarized argument makes these dualistic narratives like totally fabricated, because each side is like falsehoods, you know, but they give us two options. It's like, oh, pick one or the other. And one is dirty energy and coal, and we know they're evil, so I would be on this, be on their side, you know. But they have actually a chemtrail program, which is just unreal. There's also the SAI, stratospheric aerosol injections. That's through the CIA, and John Brennan is talking about that in the movie Franken Skies in one of the clips, and that's maybe a decade ago. There's also solar radiation management and SRMGI.gov, Solar Radiation Management Governance Initiative. And that's a government program to try to govern how much sunlight we get, solar radiation management, aka solar radiation, aka sunlight, which is so ironic, because I'm making an EMF protective clothing line and all this other stuff with EMF, and they won't call EMF radiation. They call it EMF. They give it a fancy word and all this. And when I traveled overseas, I tried to use the word EMF and all this. And they're like, they call it radiation overseas. Radiation is radiation is radiation off a nuclear power plant, off of a cell phone overseas and all these other countries. But over here, it's EMF. It's all fancy. But sunlight, heaven forbid, that's radiation, and we need to manage it. Okay. And then there's a whole bunch of other ones, but there's also climate engineering. There's another climate. There's all these other programs for climate engineering and whatnot. And at the end of the day, there's also programs to modify the weather. Like there's the Hurricane Atmospheric Modification Program, HAMP. And that was a program, HAMP, to administer black carbon soot into hurricanes. And they first started with Katrina to see if they could disrupt a hurricane, and they realized that they just made it stronger and bigger. And they know how to make and quell hurricanes, make and quell tornadoes, even make earthquakes and stuff with HAARP technology and all that stuff. So that's a bit of it. There's a lot going on, but so to ask the who, it's all these compartments that they're all these compartmentalized groups of private contractors, government institutions. They're probably working all in conjunction. And at the end of the day, it's probably primarily NASA, I would imagine.
That makes sense. And people ask me, they're like, well, I mean, wouldn't that be disclosed somewhere? Why isn't anyone talking about it in power? And I'm like, have you ever heard of the Manhattan Project? I mean, this is massive, and you could be compartmentalized, like you say, it probably is. But it's being directed by someone. And this is a massive effort from what I see. And it is like the 800-pound gorilla in the room that no one talks about. I mean, everybody's going to do a rally to stop the steal or, a riot against perceived racism. But nobody looks up and says, what the hell are they doing to the sky? I mean, I've been looking up for years now going, wait a minute. That wasn't there when I was a kid. Now they're crisscrossing tic-tac-toe boards and all over this. And people are just like, yeah, that's normal. Planes are flying today. And then I say the next day when it's clear, I'm like, oh, so no planes flew today. Zero planes. Right. And then people are like, oh, well, I don't know. Maybe it's just the atmosphere. Maybe it's colder up there. Whatever, you know. And I'm like, there is a massive geoengineering. And it's not like, you know, it's funny. You mentioned the controlled opposition part. That's true for so much of this. Like you could take a truth and you wrap it in something ridiculous. And that's the way I think they've stopped a legitimate pushback and research and, from people in power. I mean, what you're doing is absolutely legitimate, but we need people that have any sort of investigative power to push back on this, to open it up, to shine some light on it. And I think, you know, it's got to be at some level top secret, because if it was, I mean, have you had any, and I'll change the subject a little bit, this on FOIA request, has anybody had any breakthroughs on FOIAs, you know, the Freedom of Information Act?
No, that's tough. And it's in a post 9/11 world, so much is black ops in the guise of national security. And it's very easy for things to be on a need to know basis and compartmentalized to the point that the powers that be, whoever's high enough up, they're not disclosing information because they think that they're doing something good. And it's like maybe they even like, I don't even want to go down the alien rabbit hole, but they're told, aliens are real. We're not going to tell people that aliens are real because people will all break out into freakouts and, you know, they won't believe in God. It'll cause mass riots or something. And so they're like, look, global warming, we know is going to kill everyone, but we're going to save them. But we can't tell them they're being sprayed with aluminum. They might get up, you know, they can't know that global warming is going to kill them. Right. They're making the global warming the Hegelian dialectic, but the powers that be in their like compartmentalized state, they're like, oh, I've got my top secret here, and I think I know the truth, and they're still not being told the truth. Another program that I forgot is SPICE, stratospheric particle injections for climate engineering. So there's all sorts of acronyms out there for these ongoing programs that probably work all in conjunction with one another. But to be able to do it all over the world, how they do, you know, what's funny where I live, as I live in a valley now in Ashland, Oregon, right next to the international airport, and the planes that go into the airport, you never see anything coming out of them.
Right.
And that's north to south. But when the planes go east to west, which is often, they leave lines and no one questions them. And they're so low in the sky. It's like, where are they coming and going from? No one even thinks about that. It's part of the don't ask questions, Edward Bernays, trust the specialist, compartmentalization of everything. I'm not a rocket scientist. I couldn't think about that. You know, like it's in the social engineering. It's in everything, really, is to kind of just play your role. Oh, did you spend $100,000 going to school to become a electrical engineer, rocket scientist, blah, blah, blah. But the activist has to wear many hats. You know, we have to figure these things out. You know, you learned about growing potatoes by taking them from the store and it worked. I'm learning about vertical farming. Evidently in like just a couple square yards, you can grow vertical with the potatoes. Basically, if you're out in the country, really quick, if you have an old tire, and you stack the tires and you put the potato in, and as it grows up and it tries to sprout and you see the green, you put another tire on top and put dirt, and that's it. The potato grows up and it tries to get the potato leaf and grow the green part, you know, the potato plant. You put another tire on top and you pile the dirt. You can do that with wood or whatever, but you just keep piling it on. So the all it is this network of the potato roots, which it's kind of like mushrooms, like a mycelia. The mushrooms have this mycelia under root. The roots of all of the potato, for people that don't know, all of this network of roots are the potatoes. The potatoes are the roots. So if you just keep this network of roots growing, you end up with all these potatoes. It's quite fascinating. But like I'm saying, what I'm saying is the activist wears many hats. So we have to learn all these things. You know, we have to learn it. Otherwise, I'd be out there wearing two freaking medical masks, huffing chemicals, not even having the freedom to breathe if I wasn't thinking outside the box, wearing multiple hats. Because that's how we have to live in a world where we're being bombarded from every angle, and our children especially. You know, we got to learn these things to be able to protect them too.
Yeah, you get indoctrinated into the COVIDian cult. No reason to look up. You got to constantly be worrying about what you're touching and what you're breathing. Of course, you're breathing in chemicals with the mask. But yeah, I look up in the skies and I think, especially on heavy chemtrail days, and I go, there's criminals putting poison in the air. You don't have my permission to do this. And I don't have anybody that I know of in government that they'll even touch it because it's a conspiracy theory. Oh, really? It's funny because back in 2008, I was 28 years old. And the first time I heard of like weather modification, I didn't think that was a real thing. I mean, I'd heard that like experiments, but the Chinese were like, yeah, we're going to seed the clouds to get more rain in Beijing because we want to keep the air pollution down. And I thought, wait a minute. So they're really doing that. And the newscaster's like, yeah, it's just geoengineering, just going to put some weather modification. But the next year, I heard a report and somebody was looking into that. And then they're like, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. I'm like, wait a minute, there's two things. There's the conspiracy theory if you're actually investigating it. And then there's just, oh, that's just common sense. Yeah, the Chinese are doing weather modification, do cloud seeding. And I thought, okay, so we got a problem here. That's when I learned about, you know, like Operation Popeye and then looking at the 1960s and Lyndon Johnson. You got that quote up on the Frankenskies, the movie.com, you know, from LBJ talking about weather modification, signing treaties. This has been going on a long time, but there is something in our lifetime, man. I think I'm 42. You're probably somewhere in my age group. And I just think the skies didn't look this way in the 90s. They probably did, you know, towards the end, starting to look a little bit more chemtrailed. But I look at photographs and now I have that same kind of eye that you do. You know, like you look at old photographs, old movies. I'm like, where's the chemtrails? You don't see them. And then now, you know, it's every photograph. You know, like if you're out in the, I have ones from, you know, being on my little mountain there in the Ozarks from a couple of years ago. And I look at the clouds and look at the sky and there's the streaks, you know, and it's just become a part of our reality. I think we too easily accept it. But just like, you know, look, I think what's funny is once they're getting, I guess, near completion, whatever the terraforming or whatever the hell they're doing, I guess they'll give us disclosure later. I'd like to see disclosure before they're finished. Is there any hope on that front? Have you talked to any lawmakers or anybody that would have investigative powers to look into this stuff?
Nobody. It's so top secret that even in the movie Frankenskies, when I spoke to Bill Vanderzam, who was he was a Canadian. I keep getting the words confused, premier or prime minister. Either way, it's like being a governor of a big state. He was the prime minister of British Columbia. And so he asked the federal government for information. And they sent him the documentation saying, basically, yeah, we do it sometimes, some places that we can't disclose. And it's for, you know, the good of the people because of global warming and whatnot. You know, like these little disclosures, it's interesting that you mentioned like the double speak, like the Chinese thing. They say we're doing it and then they say it's like kind of like right now, the 99.9% survival rate and all these sort of things. It's like they tell you right in your face. But then they give you another option. It's like, oh, but you could also be a victim. You could be a victim if you want to accept some lies and be a, you know, complete child about it or whatever, you know, because I guess people have these journeys of their soul or whatever, and they can either karmically like own up or just be like, oh, I'll be a victim. Give me the fluoride and come give me this and that. And oh, yeah, what are you going to do? Oh, yeah. I don't know exactly. I was born in October 1980, and so we're almost the exact same age. I'll be 42 this year. And growing up, like in 2008, I was 28, 2000, I was 20, and stuff like that. So it seems like you were the same thing. It's interesting that we're from a generation where, and especially like our parents' generation and their parents' generation, where they know, and they have photographs to see it, they know there was a change. It's like in the mid-90s, they started to spray, and now they do it way more than they did, you know? And when I was a child, I would see the clouds that are normal. Now they're very abnormal, and they're hardly there, or they're mixed with, you know, where I'm at, I don't know if it's like a targeted spot or something, but I do know that there's in Baja, Mexico, or maybe somewhere in Wyoming or something, that there are places where it's not so bad. That's a question that comes up so much, you know, where's a good place where we can get away from it? You can't really get away from it. It feels like where I'm at, it's really intense. But I ask, I have 55,000 followers on Facebook, and I ask, how are the chemtrails everywhere? Everybody, people say on full moons, especially, and certain times, it's just really bad. You know, they want to dim the consciousness around certain things. And then people ask, like, what is it and why is it and all this? The what is a question, because it's not just one thing. They're engineering the weather. Yes, they are engineering the freaking weather. I can say that for sure. But sometimes they're probably spraying chemicals to experiment. You know, there's lithium clouds that come into Portland that people experiment and test the air, and it's lithium. And the movie Frankenstein's, St. Louis was sprayed with radioactive cadmium, even from at ground level, to experiment on people, you know? So there's a lot of things ongoing. Why did they spray on election day, that day that you thought, that you see it as the one of the biggest
I've seen in 2 years.
Right. It was the heaviest spraying that you'd seen. On that, so, okay. So I thought about this, because there's days like Thanksgiving or something where they spray like crazy. Sometimes I think it's to normalize it. People are out and about, they're out voting, they're out, they're seeing the skies that day, they're out. And so then if they spray like crazy everywhere, it's normalized. People are seeing it, and it's just a normal thing for them. But also in some places, like activist Dick Gregory, rest in peace, he talked about they would come and spray, and this mist would come down and everyone would be all agitated. And he was confident they were spraying manganese to agitate his African-American people, to neighbors, to fight each other. So some places they agitate, some places they spray lithium and they calm people down. And on election day, I would go into that conspiratorial space and say they're probably spraying some sort of chemicals, different chemicals in different places. Maybe some place they do want to riot so they can put on the TV, oh, look at these crazy people in Minneapolis or whatever, to push whatever agenda they're pushing, because they always have something. It's to promote fear, usually. Everything's fear-based, fear-mongering. And then that it makes us realize the power of frequency and how powerful the opposite of fear is, which is truth and love and like not being stuck in that frequency of being a victim, basically, to everything, and empowering yourself. You know, knowledge is power, but also it's really knowledge plus action is power. It's like knowing there's fluoride in my toothpaste is knowledge. Buying the fluoride toothpaste is not the action you're going to take from that. So knowledge plus action equals power. So then now you've got the non-fluoridated toothpaste and you've taken that action, right? And you can apply that to all sorts of things. I love that you have books. I've been buying the crap out of books, because right when the lockdowns happened, my girlfriend and her kids, we were so used to having access to libraries, Barnes & Noble, all those things. And all of a sudden, our access to information has the channel of information, you know, not just like different books. Like, there's still books out there in the world, but how can we even have that channel of access to them when it's just being squeezed down to like Amazon or whatever the internet is? And for the children, like, how are they supposed to access anything? So I think it's important for us to get books together, because there is this weird virtual book burning going on, especially when you think of Amazon and their power, and they named it the Kindle, like kindling, you know, they named it that. And I see certain books being gobbled up by them, books that I want, books that I am looking for, that I want. They're the only ones that carry them. And then slowly but surely, like, oh, we only carry this one digitally. Well, what's after that, you know?
Oh yeah. I started buying the paperback version. If I buy something on Kindle, because it can be convenient. But I want to always, if there is a paperback version or a hardback version, I want to get it. You know, it's funny, on Kindle, the first book that they digitally deleted, like they went in after the fact and deleted it off of Kindle. Like, so if you plugged into the internet, it would reverse it, was 1984. just a little bit of trivia there. Yeah. That, and I thought, wow, that's pretty ironic, isn't it? And it's not all the copies of 1984, but one of them, they actually reversed it and took it off of their available list. Well, you know, it's fascinating. It is infuriating what they're doing with this, whatever it is, geoengineering, chemtrails. I saw a meme yesterday. One of my friends from InfoWars put up a meme and had Alex Jones, and it said, they're spraying chemicals in the sky to turn the freaking snow gay, you know? And I thought, well, that's funny. But, you know, you look back at last February, a year ago, coming up on a year ago, Texas, people were saying, oh, we got this huge snow fall, and people were trying to, I didn't verify any of this, but I saw like videos, people were like, oh, the snow won't melt and all. Do you have any information on what that could have been? Or was that tied together with this or geoengineering in some way?
There's a few things there. And as far as the viral videos of the balls of snow that won't burn, I've seen them around, those viral videos, for a handful of years now, maybe even 5 years now. And yes, there's chemicals in the rain and snow. And, that is something. Yeah. But, I don't think you can just hold a lighter to a ball of snow. I don't know. I think it might just be a hoax. Like, try it out for yourself. I tried it myself, and it's just basically the ball is, it's so cold that as you hold the flame to it, I think it melts, but there's so much cold. I don't know that one.
I'm always skeptical of stuff like that because I think, okay, is this some sort of plant to go viral to discredit actual research? Like, that's what I look at every single video that comes out. If it breaks past a certain threshold, I go, oh, let me really look at this, you know? And that's what we have to suffer through that in the alternative media. Cause like, you know, I pay for my time. I love these discussions and shows like this and getting to meet people like you. But we're inundated with false information. We have to weed it out. It's the mainstream, who just gets their talking points from the Central Intelligence Agency and reads them. Like, we have to actually do journalism and figure out what is real. But I definitely know one thing for sure, 100%, and I'm with you. They're doing something to the sky. They're spraying, they're putting chemicals out without our permission, which is criminal and violates not only the Constitution, but all sorts of international law. The Geneva Convention, I'm pretty sure, the Nuremberg Code, everything. And no one will talk about it that has any. So that's probably a clue that we shouldn't go out and like do anything to help politicians, because they're all talking about stuff that is outside the periphery of what matters. You know, and I think that's really the takeaway from what's going on in the sky should tell you everything you know you need to know about your reality and really where the difference needs to be made. If people won't recognize what is happening, then they're useless. Like, they're totally useless. They're not on your side. If they won't recognize that we are against our will being geoengineered or whatever the hell it is, or experimented on, then and it's like the Trump phenomenon. People, and I don't want to get into politics, but people would go to DC over and over again. They'll do Stop the Steal. They'll all that stuff. They'll donate, you know, it was $250 million raised. You're over here doing real journalism, stuff that matters. I mean, where's your $250 million, Matt?
I've given that a lot of thought, and it's upsetting. Yeah. And I'd love to hear Trump even say the word chemtrails, and people will stick up for him saying, oh, he's taking it down from the inside. And people have even told me that Trump changed the constituents of the chemtrails to make them healthy, bro. And I'm like, all right. I'm like, you know, really.
I heard that the vaccine's healthier, but right. Yeah.
And I've got a crowdfund for Franken Skies too, climate chains shackles, and I've been raising money $20, $5, 20, you know, and over like 3 years, I've raised a few $1,000. You know, I pretty much just gave up, and I'll put it towards some film equipment, and I'll just make my own money and stuff because it's hard, and I don't like begging, and I'm not. It's hard. It is hard being an activist. I wanted to just jump back to the frogs being gay really quick, or the snow being gay, which was from frogs being gay. And that was an interesting potentially, like we talked about, viral things, potentially like a PSYOP thing in a weird way, because to the normal person out in the world who is not a truther, I'll call it, because all these words are hijacked, awake, truther, conspiracy theorist, whatever, to the normal, quote unquote, normie, the whole frogs are gay and the whole chemtrails make frogs gay. It made us look bad. It made us look like crazies. Okay. And that's not what that was. What that was is there is an herbicide called, or maybe it's a pesticide, either way, it doesn't really matter. It's a pesticide called Syngenta, I believe, or maybe it's astrazine. Sorry. Astrazine is the chemical made by Syngenta, and Tyrone Hayes was hired by Syngenta to investigate atrazine. And he ended up finding out it was toxic and it was turning male frogs into females. Their testicles were shrinking up. It was turning frogs gay, essentially, kind of, you know? And that was nothing to do with chemtrails. It was a agriculture chemical spray like crazy, just like Roundup is. And it was going into the water system, into the water, the groundwater, and messing with adolescents and teens and children and frogs, especially, who are the most susceptible. Okay. So then the chemtrails is the biggest trigger word for the normies, for the normal people. It's like, oh, you must believe it. Oh, now it's flat earth, actually. But before, it was chemtrails. And it's like, oh, you must think chemtrails are real. It's like, well, actually, yeah, dude, they are real. And then it's like, okay, I'm not going to believe anything you say. So they mix these two things together. Okay. So now you're not questioning either of them. And nobody ever said that chemtrails turn frogs gay. That got going crazy. I don't know exactly how and where, but those are two things being mixed together, two truths being mixed together to make the truthers look crazy. So another thing, and I know we're running out of time, is an interesting topic is disclosure. They throw it in our face, but then they have some propaganda machine making everyone think they're crazy for believing that. But they do, hidden in plain sight, whatever you want to call it, they do let the truth get out there. I mean, like the powers that be control the internet, they wouldn't let Loose Change and Zeitgeist and Frankenstein even exist, or me even exist. I've questioned my own life. Like, how do they just let me keep on going? I'm trying so hard to wake everyone up and they let me do it, because they kind of have to. It's part of this, like, I don't know. I've thought about it a lot. Maybe it's a spiritual thing. Maybe they're sidestepping karma. They're Satanists, I believe, you know, so they know how to kind of wiggle the system and whatnot. And by showing us, instead of just lining us all up and enslaving us, they got to get some sort of weird consent out of us. And it's not real. Like you were saying a minute ago, and I love your passion, and brother, I'm right there with you. We don't know exactly what's going on, but definitely there's poison being sprayed and it's coming down on our crops, on our children. We're breathing it in. It's in our soil, and it's a patented fire accelerant is what I've learned. And when they're talking about drought and all this and they can control the weather, we're being lied to. That's the biggest point. There's no transparency. There's no scrutiny. And we're over here like voting for this guy or this guy, and nobody's even talking about chemtrails. One of the biggest elephants in the room that I could absolutely imagine. Our source, which is the sun, you know, it gives us vitamins, but it makes our plants grow, which is what we need to eat. And then that feeds cows and everything. I mean, we need the sun. Come on, people. They're talking about dimming it. When this whole global warming charade, people, if you've been to sea level, like at the beach and stuff, that hasn't risen. Like, sea level's not rising. These exacerbated climate conditions are primarily all geoengineered with chemtrails. So that's the Hegelian dialectic. That's the problem. They want you to react with fear. And then the solution they're going to tell you is geoengineering, which is chemtrails, which is spraying chemicals in your sky to slow down the sun. But guess what? That whole greenhouse effect idea, okay? Number one, the number one greenhouse gas on Earth is water vapor. So people need to know that. It's not carbon dioxide, you know? And two, if people really cared, they'd be planting trees, you know, that's another thing. But if they sprayed a bunch of aluminum and got it to stick in the sky by zapping it with microwaves, which is what they do with HARP antenna arrays all over the place now, they're called ionosphere heaters or NEXRAD or Doppler even. They say they're predicting the weather, but they're really managing the weather with these things. If they do what they want to do, it will create a greenhouse effect. You can't put metal in the sky and think you're not going to make a greenhouse effect. The light that gets in is going to get trapped. They say, oh, it'll bounce the light out. Yeah, but what about the light that gets in? It'll create global warming. And then where are we at? It's kind of like the whole scenario that we're in right now with all of the nonsense, because at the very beginning of all this, I was very confident saying, you guys, it's just the normal season of the cold and everything. But now there's so much nonsense, experiment, shedding, blah, blah, blah. I can't say that narrative anymore because everyone got caught up in all the lies at the beginning. So, but and eventually I won't be able to, like, if people take the geoengineering agenda and they're like, oh yeah, let me check there and vote for it, our consent is out the window. And then what are we going to do? Monsanto has aluminum resistant seed that they have the patents on. When everything's aluminized, their bees will work, which they have Monsanto like resistant, literal, they have Monsanto bees, you know, they're like, can live in an aluminum toxic environment and all that sort of stuff. They'll have the seed patents and all that, and we'll live in this. I mean, I don't want to even project this reality of dystopia. So we really need to honor the truth and come together and raise the frequency on this thing, tell people about it, raise the consciousness. The politicians aren't going to do anything. But as we raise the consciousness, eventually people are going to say no to a lot of stuff at once, I feel like. And even that's probably going to be controlled. They want us to fight each other in a civil war. They're supposed to be a revolutionary war of consciousness, probably, where we take down the entire thing and we start over and we care about each other and do pretty much what you're doing, you know, living off grid and caring about the children and all that and honoring the earth and not being total. We're supposed to be guardians of this planet, you know, and at the end, we can't let them spray poisons on us, even if it's under the guise of saving us from something they've made up. So at this time, I think it's important to raise the consciousness. And also, I know there's only a few minutes left. Mineralization is the answer. We can detox from these things. I especially think it's important to mineralize. I've been taking this supplement, Irish Sea Moss, which has like 100 bioavailable minerals in it. But either way, get your minerals. They tell you take your multivitamin, which vitamins are like made in a lab or whatever. It's all about mineralization. If you have a really complex mineral, it even has plant-based bioavailable aluminum, barium, and strontium. It's got all of them on there, gold, silver, platinum, boron, you name it. But those things that are toxic that they're spraying in the sky, that are heavy metal versions of them, if we're up to speed on those minerals, we're not going to be absorbing them from this environment, from our environment, because we're low on other minerals. Like when you're low on calcium, your bones are uptaking stuff from the environment trying to get that. And if there's radioactive cadmium in the air and it's similar on the periodic table to calcium, and we're absorbing that because we're low on calcium, low on magnesium and things, we need to just be up to speed on our minerals. And I highly recommend detoxing and saunas and all that. But people ask me, you know, what's the positive note? How can we embrace this and empower ourselves? It's mineralization, in my opinion, and also activism, you know. So I just want to get that out before the time's up.
Well, I'm glad you did. I mean, every day that passes, I become more of a fan of organic, holistic. I mean, I see how much has been hidden from us. You know, especially if you buy the mainstream narrative or you've been indoctrinated by government schools, which most of us have, you know, and I was in the military too. So it's just, I got to undo all that. I got to unthink, unlearn so much, you know, and it's been an interesting journey. I do know one thing though, after this interview, history will be very kind to you, my friend. And if there is a future, history will be very kind to you and what you're exposing, because I think this is probably, I mean, if there's an unholy trinity, this is up there in the top three of the things that are right in plain sight that they're doing. And I believe totally with you in the revelation of the method. I think that there, at some level, these are just satanic evil entities that they give us the truth, they give us a choice, and it's up to us. And then if we don't expose it or fight it or stand up against it, then they just, I guess, karmically, like you said, they get a pass. And, you know, as far as climate change is concerned, people say, well, you don't believe it. You're a climate denier. I'm like, no, I look outside. There's psychopaths putting stuff in the sky. So I know that they're changing. I know that climate changes, right? We can, you want to fight climate change? Fight that. And then people, oh, that's crazy. You know, so I'm with you, bro. It's a truth is a lonely warrior. As my friend James Perloff wrote a book with that title. And that certainly has been the case. We got a few more minutes. Matt, tell us about, first of all, you got the, the Spiro Project, right? Which is your clothing line. And I pronounced that correctly, right? It's the Latin term for, what is that Latin for?
It's hope. And hope. I guess it's pronounced Sparrow.
Sparrow.
Or really you should roll the R, but I mean, like, I don't even know. I just wanted something that had a meaning behind it, you know? And I was analyzing all these brands, Adidas, and I mean, you name it, Nike, Timberland, like, the North Face. I'm like, oh my God, like, how do these people even become successful? I need something that symbolizes what I'm doing. And I want to bring hope to the next generation, you know, by protecting them from 5G ultimately. And in this dystopian potential reality, we need to start now so that I can innovate and keep building on this. And when they've got like drones that can like detect your heart signature and track you everywhere, I'll have clothing that prevents that tracking, you know? And when there's 5G everywhere that's messing with people's DNA or whatever it may be, if it's a depopulation agenda, it seems like, I'll have clothing that protects from that. So right now I've got like 33 items. It's been growing like crazy. And I was really gung-ho. And a few years ago, I just went to Asia because I learned that there was a fabric that protected. I thought I would be reinventing the wheel, but I learned there's actually clothing over there for pregnant women, especially. But what it is, it's woven silver fabric. You can use steel as well. It's just not as comfortable. So first I'm using this woven silver, and I make men's underwear and baby blankets, swaddling blankets, and pregnancy wear and beanies and hoodies and all this sort of stuff. And it's coming together. And as an activist, it's a dream come true, because I never thought that activism could actually pay the bills. I always thought it would be a side job and I'd always be waiting tables or something like that. And thank God I'm not doing that right now, because where I live, it would be a nightmare. I wouldn't be able to do it. I just wouldn't be able to cover my face. I'm not doing this whole cover the face thing. When I go to the post office and the grocery store, I'm the only one, brother. And I actually made these cute little cards that say, we honor you and love you. Thank you for showing your face. So if I see somebody in there in the war zone in solidarity, because it is like going into a minefield, I give them the little, and they love it. They love it so much because they know, like, I see you. So either way, there's that little bit of activism that I'm doing day to day. And then I'd like to reference my website, actualactivists.com, plural, on actualactivists.com. It's a great one-stop shop for resources and information on activism type stuff. So I narrowed it down to health, fluoride, 5G, geoengineering, chemtrails, and the trigger word, I'm not going to say, the injections. So yep. That is a great resource. And then also there's a daily truth, like a daily little blog kind of thing. That's awesome. And then on there, and I'd love to include you, I have a podcast hub for truth or podcast kind of thing for people that are looking for different shows to listen to, because there's so many truthers out there. And with this, everyone knows about censorship by now. With the censorship and the boot that's getting tightened and all these things, we got to know who's who and where's what and who we can listen to and who we can trust. And it's nice to know that there's people out there speaking the truth, but it's oftentimes hard to find them, I've realized. So I've created a little hub where I keep plugging in different shows that I think are cool, because I'm going on a lot and meeting a lot of cool people like yourself. And frankisguys.com now exists, as well as frankisguysthemovie.com. Both of them, you can watch the movie for free. And I'm plugging all that stuff on BitChute and whatnot, because of my primary channel got pulled off of the big one. And then aside from that, please check me out on Sparrow Gear, S-P-E-R-O, gear.com, or sparrowprotectionclothing.com will get you there too. And Sparrow Gear on Instagram. I've been doing Instagram, which is, you know, maybe I'm like 5 or 10 years late on that, but I'm on Instagram now and Sparrow Gear. So that's a nice thing. Kids love that and what have you. So I feel old. You know, did you ever have a pager?
When I was a kid, I think I was about 12. I had a pager.
Yeah. I was telling my girlfriend about it today and we were looking it up, because we want to, you know, we want to go backwards in time, man. And it was so exciting to talk about it today, to talk about pagers and look them up. It was like these memories that I can't even believe they're in there.
Well, I certainly appreciate you being with me today, and I know my audience will want to support your work. And I've been meaning to get some the Sparrow equipment, because I sell gold and silver, so I know the medical properties, the history of what silver has done, and how your clothing line lines it, it protects you. So there's a lot of healing properties there. We'll have you back soon because this is not even, we didn't even cover enough to be dangerous. Yeah, maybe a little dangerous, but anyway, I've really, really enjoyed you being here, Matt, and we'll have you back soon. Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate you very much. And I appreciate what you said earlier about history and stuff. It's really touching that you actually know and care about the skies because it's important. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Keep your eyes on the Franken skies, ladies and gentlemen. End of transmission.
Life is a continuous confrontation with forks in the road. One is good, one is bad. And you could always wander completely off the road altogether and become lost. Totally and completely lost. If you take the wrong fork at one of these junctions, there is always the opportunity at the next fork to get back on track. But it is a constant battle within ourselves. You see, I have studied this concept for many, many years, and I have to tell you that if there is a real devil, like Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it. Now, I'm not telling you that there's no such thing as Satan or Lucifer. I'm telling you this. If there really is a devil, that devil exists in the hearts and minds of men and nowhere else. Nowhere else. For if you take man out of the equation, evil ceases to exist. And there is left only the laws of the universe and the balance of nature. Put man in the equation, and before long, evil will rear its ugly head and present itself to the world. The evil is within man, and that is why it was called the fall. The devil never made anyone do it. If you do it, you did it yourself because you fell into temptation. For until man once again confronts the real nature of his own condition and of the world around him and accepts full responsibility for his actions without blaming anyone else or any devil, until then we will always be a puppet on the end of someone else's string. And ladies and gentlemen, when that someone pulls that string, we will dance.